Hey guys, welcome to Fitness Mentor's presentation of the ACE online course for their Certified Personal Trainer exam. My name is Eddie Lester. We are going over chapter 13, specifically the PowerPoint lecture. So, yeah, let's do it. So chapter 13 really, to be honest, has zero questions on the test. Okay, I encourage you to learn more about this chapter and about the topics in this chapter if it's going to be something that you're going to be interested in as you progress as a personal trainer, or it's currently something that you do. But if not, you know, this is a chapter that you don't have to get too detailed with. So let's just kind of go over the basics and talk a little bit about the research around some of this mind-body exercise and how it may help with certain issues. But yeah, let's go ahead and flip over to slide number two and talk about the science of mind-body exercise. So basically, what they're describing as mind-body exercise is exercise that also allows you to have a mental component in which you focus either your breathing or you focus on stress reduction or almost get into more of a meditative state. It's a way to pretty much reduce stress is the way that I would mainly consider the way they describe mind-body exercise. But on slide two, they directly talk about stress-reducing neuroendocrine interactions with meditation and breathing. So basically, when you focus on breathing, when you focus on a bit of an internal work like meditation, it really assists with reducing stress hormones. And we'll say, or the specific hormones that it talks about is going to be corticotropin-releasing hormone, CRH, as well as adrenocorticotropin hormone, ACTH. And what do those do? They bond the hypothalamus and pituitary gland, or pituitary and adrenal glands, which is the HPA axis. The hypothalamus is also affected. Meditation reduces the activation of the HPA axis. And then as far as the adrenal glands go, there's decreased catecholamine and cortisol production, which is basically a reduction in negative stress hormones. Or we'll just say hormones that are associated with chronic stress can be reduced. One reason why this type of exercise might be important is one of the key factors to health and also to weight loss and muscle gain is ensuring that you have, well, A, you eat well, you sleep well, you exercise, but then the last one is managing stress hormones. Stress hormones are increased when you don't sleep, they're increased when you don't eat well, and they are not necessarily increased when you don't exercise, but they are not as, we'll say, they aren't as affected, they aren't as interacting with the body. So when you have increased stress hormones through also just mental thought, stress just through anxiety almost, you have negative effects on the ability to achieve fitness goals. So one thing that can be important for certain types of clients that are high strung or have anxiety or are very chronically stressed due to work, life, and anything else, this type of exercise can be very, very, very important for assisting them in managing that stress, and therefore that it can assist them in achieving their other fitness goals. So let's flip over to slide number three and talk about the benefits. So some of the benefits of mind-body exercise include improved muscular strength, flexibility, balance, coordination, mental development, and increased self-efficacy. There's some research out there around yoga that all of that is improved, as well as Qigong and Tai Chi. And there is basically, for both of those, there's reports and studies that show a decrease in the incidence of stroke. And more or less, this is for all exercise, but specifically they did research around yoga and martial art style mind-body exercise. And they reported that there was a decrease in incidence of stroke, mortality or death from stroke, increased bone mineral density, meaning stronger bones, better balance, improved cholesterol profile or lipid profile, decreased blood pressure, improved effectiveness of cancer therapy, so reduces, we'll say, stress-related cancer issues, as well as increased physiological well-being, just in general, or a happier person, maybe. All right, so moving to slide 4 and talking about the modalities or different types of modalities for mind-body exercise. So basically, there's different criteria. They talk about meditative or contemplative, meaning a lot of thought-based exercise, something like meditation. Proprioceptive and kinesthetic body awareness. That's like some of the martial arts, Tai Chi, Qigong. Breath centering or breath work can be done in all of those. Then you also have anatomic alignment or proper choreographic form, so moving the certain body segments in order. And then energy-centric, really just focusing the energy that you use on certain parts of the body and or mind. Yoga is internal yoga. It's more or less just meditation, but with some basic poses, or like you see most monks, or just that cross-legged sort of pose, or the picture on the right. That's as an example. And it's used in Dean Ornish's heart disease reversal programs. Dean Ornish is a doctor, or Dr. Dean Ornish, and he recommends that you utilize some internal yoga or meditation to assist with the reversal of heart disease. And then, Qigong and Tai Chi are going to be the more popular ones, we'll say. So New Age mind-body exercise, and this is really more around the what is kind of newer exercise, but also that may have some mental or stress reducing effects. That can be things like Pilates, something called the Alexander technique, and Feldenkrais method, the Nia. Most of these I haven't personally participated in, but definitely can be performed and researched and attempted by you if that is something that you're interested in. Chi walking, chi running, American Indian and Alaskan spiritual dancing as well. So you could even throw Zumba in there, even though it's a little bit more cardiorespiratory and a little less mind-body. It can assist with certain movements that can be considered mind-body too. So lots of different opportunities there for newer-aged mind-body exercise. Moving over to slide 6, recommendations. So, for mind-body exercise. So, it's basically recommended for those with chronic disease. So, if you mind-body exercise is typically not extremely high intensity. It's typically slower, more focused on breath and mental development. So, people with certain chronic diseases like hypertension, diabetes, obesity. Cancers, cardiovascular disease, those types of diseases, it can be very beneficial for. They specifically mentioned the hypertension, type 2 diabetes, anxiety and depression disorders, arthritis, poor functional capacity, or like adrenal stress syndrome, individuals requiring cardiac or pulmonary rehabilitation, pain management, and anger management. So lots of different recommendations for different types of issues for mind-body exercise. And then also acute coronary syndromes, yogic breathing and meditation can help reduce potential for acute coronary syndromes like acute short-term heart arrhythmias caused by stress, things like that. All right, and the final slide, moving on to slide 7, we're going to talk about the application. So really, as a personal trainer, I kind of mentioned this before, but does your client already participate in something like this? Have they tried something like this? And can you incorporate it to be a part of their health and fitness routine? That's the main consideration that I would recommend as a personal trainer, is to encourage them to continue performing it if it is something that they enjoy. And or if you have someone that is high strung, high stress, you can recommend it for them to try. Some people will like it, some people won't. If you know that it's something that the person would never enjoy, probably don't recommend it. But there's a lot of different people that you would want to recommend this for and some that you would not. So just keep that in mind and assess the person based off of, as you get to know them, is this something that they would do? And even take a class with them if they're nervous to try it, things like that. So. So when to use mind-body exercise, you can do it before or during a resistance training session. Okay, so I did have clients do yoga before weight training with me, as it would warm them up in a really good way, increase their body temperature, increase their flexibility, and then we would do a resistance training, which they really enjoyed that. Yoga, breathing, and meditation during the warm up and cool down phases. I do have a client that loves to incorporate deep breathing and mental acuity and focusing during their stretching. So we focus on that. It's his quiet time during the day, which is great for him. Then also, incorporating mindful components to low to moderate aerobic or strength exercise, specifically like walking on a treadmill, running on an elliptical, focus on breathing during those can be beneficial to getting through that. So, use poses to help build balance and coordination. So a lot of the floor work and core work that I do with my clients actually stems from a lot of Pilates and yoga floor work. So there's a lot of different poses in yoga. Take a few classes, find out what you like, find out what you feel would benefit yourself and or your clients, learn those exercises and how to perform them, and then utilize them when you are working with your clients. That's kind of the biggest application aside from introducing them the full workouts with your clients. You can take bits and pieces of certain mind-body exercises and apply them with your clients. Especially around core strength, core strength and balance. There's a ton that really focus on that. So, once again, not too detailed on this chapter, just kind of introducing it to you so that you can make a decision on whether you'd like to try or introduce it to your clients, and just to make you aware of the fact that there is a mental component to exercise, and some people highly, highly need that as a stress-reducing activity, and some people do not. But use your best assessment to determine which person would be good for it and which person wouldn't. All right, that's going to be about it. Go ahead and listen to our audiobook lecture down below. Complete the assignment as well as the quiz. And I look forward to seeing you in the audiobook lecture below. Cheers.